Good morning, Revive. It's so wonderful to be with you this morning. Like Bjorn mentioned and just mentioned, my name's Abby, and my husband John and I, we get to lead the ministry of Poetis over in Choma, Zambia. Raise your hand if you've ever been over there. Let me see. Yes, this is amazing. I love seeing so many hands. Yes, it's good to be with you this morning. I love when I get to put my feet on your territory now after so many of you have come to Zambia and put your feet in our community, in our base. The Lord is doing really beautiful things there, and I know he is too this morning here as well, both this morning and always through this body. I told first service this, but when I'm in this worship center, I don't know what you call it, sanctuary, worship center, this room, I just feel the presence of the Lord saying, I love this church. I love this body. I love this family. He loves you. He loves being here. He loves the invitation to be here. And I'm so thankful to get to be here and just be with him this morning and be with you all this morning. I love our partnership. We've been partnered for over a decade. And this just journey that we've been intertwined together with after the heart of the Lord has been such a privilege, such a gift. This has been true for our leadership, but also with so many of you, so many individuals. When you come on a trip and invest your lives in our ministry, we get to intersect with deep places in your heart. We get to be part of so many lives and so many journeys with the Lord, and that is just such a privilege and such an honor for us. So thank you guys for inviting me to be here with you this morning, inviting our team to be here, and for just pursuing the heart of the Lord together. It is the greatest gift and the greatest privilege. And that really is what it's all about. That's what this whole thing, this whole pursuing Jesus and following him, that's what it is. It's knowing God, being part of his family, and inviting others in. That's the gospel. That's the message. That's the story. We get to know the Lord. We get to deeply, intimately know him. Because if we don't know him, we've missed it. And what is his pursuit? It's inviting us to taste this kingdom family that's better than anything else. So being part of his family is the best, and that's what he's inviting us into. And then once we're in, we get to invite others. We get to say, hey, come, not because it's a good idea, but because it's better, because it's the best thing that you could ever experience is being part of the kingdom family. And so that's what we're after together. That's what you're after here in this city, in this community, in this family. That's what we're after in Choma, is just to know the Lord, to know the Father, to be part of his family and see his family grow, to invite others in. Not because we should, but because he's actually better. That's what my journey has been like. I'm sure many of you can experience or can relate with me that he is just better. Knowing him, walking through life with him, knowing that you have the Spirit of the Lord with you in every moment of every day, it's just better. You knowing you have his community and his family surrounding you, it's just better. And I would never, ever, ever want to go back to the days when I didn't know that, to the days when I didn't know how to walk with him, to hear his voice, to partner with him, to allow his Holy Spirit to help me in every moment of every day. I'd never want to go back, and I don't know how people do life without him. I think about that often. If I didn't have the Lord right now, I don't know where I would be at. Being a mom now for the last 2.5 years, I don't know how you do it without Jesus. I don't know how you can get through moments of so many things without the Lord to walk through life with you. And that's what we get to do together as part of the body. We get to pursue the Lord in his family. We get to know him and we get to walk with him. That being part of the family of God, we cannot, this is something I just believe that the Lord is speaking over us right now in this day. After COVID, after all the things we've been through over the last few years, is that being part of his family is the only way to be part of the church. Being part of the body is the only way to actually exemplify what it means to be a believer, what it means to walk with the Lord. We can't do it outside of family. Because God has always been a family. God has never, ever existed. I think sometimes we have had this picture of God as this big, scary, strict man in the sky. But he's never been that way. If we read the word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? We have three, in the beginning. It doesn't say, in the beginning after God made the Son, then the Son was with God. No, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's always been three persons as part of God. It's never been one. There's always been three. And so as a family, this is the foundation, the beginning, the starting point of God, of the world, of all that exists, came from a family. There was always been the Father and the Son and the Spirit together in family. And that family was so good. The fellowship, the love, the goodness, the joy was so good that they were like, this is too good. It's too good for there just to be three of us. It's too good for us to just keep this goodness within the three of us. We have to share it. And so what did they do? They created humanity, some kind of creature that could also experience the goodness and the love of the beauty of this family. It was so good that they said, we have to create something, some kind of creature, some kind of being that can also experience the fullness of what it means to be in our family. So they made humanity, and in the likeness of God, why? Because the only way to experience the love of God is to be like God, enough to know the love of God. And so he made humanity like him, enough to know the love of God. And yet in being made in the likeness, he also had to give us the ability to choose. Why? Because love without choice is not love. And so he gives us a choice. He says, you can choose to love me back or you can choose to follow your own way. And he knew that in the creation of humanity, there would be some that would not choose him back. He knew it, but yet he still thought it worth the risk. What a wild thing is our God. To say, even though some, and I'm gonna experience, because he's a real God with real feelings and he created emotion, and in his likeness, we experience a lot of the things that God desires we experience so we can know the love of God. And in that, knowing, this reveals to us that God must feel, he must understand the heartbreak of rejection. He must understand what it feels like to not be chosen back. But he said, it's worth the risk because I'll have some of them. I'm gonna get some of my children, they're gonna choose me back. And so he created humanity with the ability to choose or to not choose. Because it was worth the risk. And then we begin to read in the story what happened, right? We know that humanity didn't choose him back. We know this from the story, but how else do we know it? Because I've walked it, because I've walked many days when I haven't said yes to the Lord. And so we know it, that humanity didn't choose. And so he gives us the entire Old Testament is God laying his heart bare, showing you, but I want you back. Showing humanity, I came after you again. Even though you didn't choose me, I still chose to come after you. But the only way to be with God and to be in his family is to be perfect, is to be right, because God is so good that he can't be with us if we're not made right. So he says, let me give you a list of rules, not for the sake of following rules to test you. Why did he give us rules? So that we could be right and we could be with him, because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with his family. That's been the whole plan since the beginning of time, is so that his family could be with him and experience the goodness with him. In Revelation 21, verse 3, at the end of the story, this is what we read. This is what happens at the end. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He's like, this is what I'm after. This is the end. This is the vision, is that I will be with God, that I will dwell with them, that I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is what he's after, is to get his family back with him. This is the whole story. So he gives them the law and all the rules that they're supposed to follow so that they can be with God. And it didn't work. He was like, okay, that's not enough. Let me do something else. So then he gives the sacrificial system. I know, I haven't studied theology, right? But I have spent time with the Lord and I've learned about his books and I've begun to understand what is his heart. So the sacrificial system, the whole point, this is nice because I'm talking to you from, you know, where we are together in this. The sacrificial system is just a way to cover it, a way to pay it back. So a way for God to be like, okay, you didn't follow my rules, you didn't obey me, so you're not perfect, so let me give you this thing that now it can make you perfect again. So what? So you can be with me. So God can, again, be with his people, because that is what he's after. But again, it didn't work, right? It wasn't enough. Because again and again and again, we see God's heart breaking over and over and over again as his people didn't choose him back. So he said, you know what? Even though you haven't chosen me, I'm gonna come again. And what did he do? John 3:16, man, we know this verse, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, would have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. John 17 says, and this is eternal life, that they would know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Knowing God is eternal life. Not heaven, not forevers and evers and evers. What? It's to, yes, eternity, but with God, to know God. This is eternal life, is to know God. John 1 verse 12. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Jesus, right? The world was made through him, but the world, when he came to live in it, the world that he created, the world didn't know him. They didn't recognize him, it says. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Do you see that our God is after his family? He's after his family. He's not after the things that we do for him. Yes, he cares what we do with our lives, but he's after us. He wants his family back. This has been his plan since the beginning. This is the gospel, that his family will be with him, will dwell with him, will know with him, will communicate with him, will be with him. He wants his family back. He's not concerned so much about us doing good and looking good inside our Christian boxes. We have created this thing around us that we have to look a certain way. We have to attain this. We have to follow the rules. And God's like, no, just love me. Come and love me and you're going to follow him. I promise. Because I want your heart. I don't want your actions. I want your heart. Because if your heart is close to me, your actions will follow. He wants every bit of us. He doesn't want us to just do good and look good. He wants our hearts. He wants every single ounce of us. He doesn't care if we do good on the outside if our hearts are far from him. He's first after our hearts. He is jealously, zealously after you. He wants you. He didn't create the world and everything in it with such perfection and detail, with sustenance that is like completely created to sustain us. He didn't put the sun and the moon the perfect distance from the earth so that we could pray a nice prayer and feel good about ourselves. He didn't send his son, his only son, into the created world through which he created to die at the hand of his creation for us to just say a prayer and get to heaven. No, he wants us. He did it so he could have us back. He did it so he could be with us. So we could be intimately, deeply known, connected, seen by him, won by his love. As C.S. Lewis says, to know the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in an ecstasy of love and delight, compared with which the most rapturous love between a man and a woman is mere milk and water. This truth isn't anything new. This is foundational. It's settling. It's orienting. It's reality. This was his dream at the beginning of time, to create a family that knows him, to create a family that is seen by him, that walks with him. It's not for the sake of being a good Christian, but it's so that we can have him, that he is our prize, that Jesus himself is our prize, that walking with the Holy Spirit is our prize. There's a scripture in Psalm, one of the Psalm 63, that says this, your steadfast love is better than life, and my lips will praise you. This is a mantra of my life, that his love is better than life, that if I don't know his love, then I don't have life, because his steadfast love is better than life, so my lips will praise him. I believe him. I believe in him, and he is worth it all to me. And if I confess with my mouth and believe it in my heart that he is Lord, then I get to have him. I get to have him all the days of my life. I get to walk through every moment with him. I get to be known by him. I get to have a helper that can control the wind and the seas. That's who comes and helps me. That's who comes and walks with me. I get to have him, not what I receive from him, not that I feel good or I feel settled because I walk with him and I'm a good Christian. No, I get to have him. And he is the prize. He is way better. You know, God has been, he's been a father for a really, really, really long time. And I believe that he's a good father. And because he's a good father, he has our best in mind. And actually the way that he oriented life is the best for us because he made us. And he made us to love him and follow him. And so his rules and his order and the way of life he created is good for us. But I think sometimes we're afraid to believe that maybe he actually has an answer for some of the things we're walking through today. We don't even want to go and ask him because we're like, that's not going to be what I want to hear. He loves us and he's been a dad for a really long time. He knows what he's doing. You know, I didn't understand the father's heart until I became a parent. The last time I was here, I think I had just had Ezra. So that's our daughter. I know her name's Ezra, but she's a girl. She's 2.5, and I think the last time I spoke here, she was just born, and now again, we have another kid, and I'm just like, the Lord is undoing me by the love of a parent. He is, the way that I have this all-consuming love for my kids is so revealing to the heart of God. This force within me that is greater than survival, that I will literally do anything so that they don't feel the pain or rejection or heartbreak or they're not hurt or any of the things, right? When I was little, my mom used to say to me, she's actually here today, which is really fun. She used to say to me when I was sick, I wish I could just take it from you. And when I was little, you know, I was like, yeah, please take it from me. But now I'm like, I get it. I wish I could take it. Like, I don't want you to feel anything that could hurt you or that is painful for you or any of it. I was reminded last service of the story of Ezra. She's, again, 2.5. And there was a day when she had met this other little girl at the playground. And she, she's a people person. So she runs over to her. And she's like, hi, my name's Ezra. What's your name? And the girl's like, you know, they're talking. And then Ez says to her, would you like to come to the playground with me? And the little girl says, no, I'm going to go with my mom. And Ezra turns, starts crying, and runs back to me like, no. And I was like, oh, the first rejection of your life. I wish I could take it. You know, I was like, my eyes filled up with tears. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling this for you right now. The first time anyone is like, yeah, rejected you. And I'm like, man, the Lord, if this is how he feels for us, whew. This love that I have for my kids, the love of a parent, this thing that I would jump into a river or run into a burning building. Like, it's not, I don't even think twice. And this isn't a cute analogy that I experience this and that as parents we experience this, that oh, God's a father, oh, he gave us this thing. No, there's a reason that creation would cease to exist without mothers and fathers. There's a reason that we actually have this all-consuming love for our kids because he's like, that is how I feel, and that's what you were made from. You were made from this all-consuming, like, love for us. That's where he made us from. That's what we come from. It's good, isn't it? God oriented the universe to be driven by this all-consuming love. This is something. God is love. The fact that God is love and he is a father, it orients our reality. It's what every story is about. It's what every movie's about. It's what Hollywood is about. It's what fairy tales are about. It's all about love. Why? Because we were made from love. We were created out of it, and it's what we literally beat for. It's what we function on. It's what makes us exist is this love that we have. Without it, what are we? We are not humans. This isn't a Christian thing. This is a human thing. And God created humans. So it's from him. We are made from him. Listen to this scripture in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He is a father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you not hear the love of a father in this? He's a parent And he's like, I want you with me and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll send my own son to die on a cross so that I can have you with me for eternity. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Sometimes when I was growing up, I got stuck on the cross. I should love you, Jesus, because you died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? I don't know, but I should love him for it. No, he did it so I could be with him. So I could be with him now and for the rest of eternity. I get to know him and I get to be with him. This is the good news. This is the word I have for us today, is that God wants us. He wants to be with us and he wants us to know what is true so that he can have us. This is what we do in Choma. This is what you're doing here. This is what we're after, is simply presenting the truth to our community. Because when we interact or we intersect with the truth of the gospel, everything changes. When we intersect with the truth of the gospel, families get restored. Relationships, marriages get redeemed. Cities change and transform. Lives get redeemed and restored. This is what happens when we simply interact with that, what is true, that God, what he wired us for, what he created us for. When we intersect with the truth of the gospel, it satisfies every single human heart. And this is what we do in Choma. We simply tell people the truth. And we believe that every single time, Jesus will move and he'll do something. Because it's not about us. It's not about us having the right words or the right things or the right programs. Those things are good. But it's about an actual encounter with the man Jesus. Because he is a man. He has now taken on the form of humanity forever. Because that's how much he loves us. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to be one of you. I'm going to relate like you. I'm going to have skin like you. I'm going to have eyeballs like you. I love you so much, I'm going to be one of you. He didn't have to do that. But we are created so perfectly that God himself would dwell in it. We get to be with him. He gets to have us. This pursuit of knowing the love of God, I pray that it grabs you, that it wins you, that it not just stays in your mind, that you know that it's true, but it begins to strike your heart and it changes you. Because the thing is, it can change us again and again and again and again. That's the thing about God, is there is no end to him. There is no end to the revelation of knowing him, of walking with him, of being seen by him. Yeah, so this is what we're after, this response to the extravagant love of God. This is what, like I said, this is what we do in Choma. We have a team of about 35. Let's see a picture of them. Yeah, a bunch of wild cats up there. Just getting to know Jesus and seeing other people interact and get revelation of who God is. We believe that as a body, as a staff, as a team, we are called to rebuild our city. We are after our city of Choma. Everyone say to your neighbor, Choma. Choma. I want it to, as we run after this thing together, I believe God has something for us in this city and for you in Choma. So you gotta get used to the way it comes off your tongue. But this city, we believe God has called us to pursue it, to go after and just see him change every bit of it, to change the hospitals, the schools, the businesses, right? We believe that the kingdom isn't just about church on a Sunday morning, but it's about life, because God created the world and everything in it. And so he's gonna use it to reveal himself and to pull people back and draw them home into the family. Yes, we believe the church is called to rebuild cities. We build to create spaces so that people can interact or intersect with this truth of the gospel. Right now we are in the middle of, what's the word? Renovating. That was easy. Renovating our worship center. Thank you to this church and the Heart Check campaign. We are just getting started in our renovations, but this is a space. It's such a gift to have this space, and we're so thankful for just your investment in it, because so many lives are getting transformed from being in that room. We believe that the church is called to redeem what has been lost for generations. This doesn't necessarily happen through well-planned programs. Of course, those are good, and we have a lot of programs. But if you've been there, you know that the truth and sharing the message and being a family that exemplifies this to the world is what we really do. So we have programs, we have ministries, we do kids and youth and We have camps and conferences. We do a lot of different things, but this is what we do at those, is we simply present the truth, present the goodness of the gospel, the reality of the love of God, and we get to see families and generations get redeemed by our family that is soaked in the truth of the gospel. A couple things we do in Choma, right? We love God. We have a church. We are a church body just like you guys are here. And through this body, we pray, we worship, we have ministry teams that go out. We do a lot of different things throughout the week. We also do a lot of training from around the world. So we have individuals from all over the place come. Many of you, some of you have been part of our intensive training. We want to invite every single person in this room to come do it with us if you want to spend 6 weeks in Choma, just to learn a deeper way to live out the revelation in your relationship with Jesus in every moment of your life. We also have an extensive training, and we do a lot of camps and conferences, like I said. And we also are in this pursuit of pursuing the kingdom in non-churchy ways, if I can use that phraseology. But in the business world, we are going to open a coffee shop to be an example of how the kingdom can actually express itself through other things. We're going to start a preschool. How can the kingdom express itself through other things and make an impact on the education sect in our city? We're going to open and start pursuing a direction of starting a neighborhood. How do we demonstrate the kingdom of God in a neighborhood? What would that actually look like? This is what we want to try to do, is just go after this. How can we create a community that reveals God in the way we wake up and walk through our thing and talk to our neighbors in a very, very intentional way to see our city begin to just get completely revolutionized by the man Jesus? And we've begun to see Choma transform. We've done it together with you as a body. We've seen our city begin to change. We've seen people's lives. We've seen families. We've seen individuals, their homes, their spaces, their hopes, their dreams have begun to change. And it's been such a gift to be able to do that with each of you, whether you're present with us or even just as the body of Revive. It has been such a gift to do this together. I think that, yeah, there's some photos getting thrown up of just different ways we've partnered together over the last couple of years. This year, we had many of you come to help us restore our spaces, renovate our base, and come for Love Choma, which was a crazy event where we served our city in just wild ways and saw so many come home to be part of the family. So we just wanted to say thank you. From Poetis to Revive, we want to say thank you for all that you are, for your hearts, for your minds, for your investment in us, and just really what the Lord is doing in our city, in Choma. And I cannot wait to continue to see what he's going to do in this city. We believe in you so much. We believe in your lives, that the fact that you are here and the way that God is already moving in your city and in your communities and in your neighborhoods. And we believe he's going to continue to do just wild and crazy things. Can't wait to see what he does in our generation together. Amen. Amen. All right, as I pray for us, I did this last service, so I'm not going to let you off the hook. I am going to pray for us, and then when I'm done, as the worship team comes back up to close in another song, I'm going to invite you to pray out loud with the person next to you. So go ahead and just put your hand on someone's shoulder, or don't touch them, whatever is fine, but go ahead and pray with them. You can either ask each other, what can I pray for, or just pray for whatever you feel like the Lord is pressing on your heart this morning, okay? I know that's not always something we do, but I'm gonna engage us in that way this morning, okay? Out loud, I said out loud. Did you hear me say out loud? Okay, awesome. Let me pray for us, and then you can pray with one another. Father, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you've been a father for thousands of years. Since before the beginning of time, your heart is the heart of a father. Thank you that you love us, that you know what is good for us, that like a good dad, you know how to teach us and lead us and show us the way. You know how to love us and comfort us and guide us. Thank you that you're after us, that you are going to move, continue to move in close to us when we put our eyes on you. Thank you that our affection and our attention can move your heart like a child to their dad. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. I thank you, God, for your gospel, this truth that we get to be in the family, that we get to be part of the goodness of what it was like for you, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we actually get to partake in some of that. It's so good, and we're so thankful. I pray over this family, over this city, over this community. God, continue to reveal yourself. Make yourself known. We love you. In Jesus' name.